But I encourage you to ask somebody who was at the conference, what were you touched with about Jacob? And, you know, just kind of listen to what they said and let's say, and we encourage the fellowship. And also, Jacob's dream is just so foundational. It's amazing how much of a foundation this dream becomes, even for Jesus, and even for the New Testament writers. Because there are so many things that are just kind of planted as seeds in this dream that grow in the New Testament. And so we want to just, I'll read the whole thing so that those that might not be familiar with the dream, you can become familiar with it. And for those who have been familiar with it, well, the Bible is always richer every time you go over it. So Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. I'll just say a little bit, you know, with Jacob, he had a dysfunctional family. So if any of you happen to have a dysfunctional family, you can identify with Jacob. His family was so dysfunctional that his mother favored Jacob, his father favored his brother. His mother was a manipulator of his father and involved Jacob in the manipulation. And then his father just wasn't too sharp. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the block. He wasn't playing with a full deck. He was just allowed himself to be kind of manipulated because he liked a certain kind of food. And you just say, like, this could have been a lot better, but it wasn't. It was life. And then Jacob eventually got to the point where his brother wanted to kill him. And that's why he's running away. And what's striking, I would say, about Jacob's life is not his perfect life, but the perfect promise God gave to him. And in Jacob's story, we see this imperfect person. Jacob was an imperfect person from a dysfunctional family. And a lot of things you look at it and say, that is just wrong. But then God says, I gave him my promise. And I am going to make that promise real to him. And this is Jacob's life. And for this reason, many of us can identify with him. So he was departed from Beersheba, that's where his family was, and went to Haran, that's where his uncle is. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones, notice this, stones of the place, and put it under his head. And he lay down in that place. I'd just like you to like let that sink in. Sleeping on a stone, running from your brother who wanted to kill you, who wants to kill you. And it's dark. And he had a dream. Like, God says, like, I want to give you something. At this point, I want to give you a dream. And when he saw the dream, behold, a ladder was set on the earth with a top reaching to heaven. And behold, angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. And I'd like to highlight a couple things. You know, Jacob, he was a liar. If you ever wonder, did he ever lie? You can find proof of it. He was a liar. He was a supplanter. That's what his name is. Even when he was born, he was the second of the twins, and he was holding the heel of his brother as if to pull his brother back into the womb so he could be first. He had problems. And if you ask, did he ever actually lie? His father said something like this. Are you Esau, your brother? And Jacob says something like this. I am. No question. He's a liar. And it's interesting. Because God, in the dream, didn't give him a dream of a lightning bolt zapping him for being a bad person. Instead, the dream was this. You see a ladder, and it goes all the way up to heaven. Jesus, in John 1:51, says, I'm that ladder. He says, you'll see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So you can see the connections here. It just shows him something of heavenly. I'd like us all this morning to see something heavenly. Heavenly. Because what gets a sinner away from sin? Very few times. Is it the fear of a lightning bolt or some judgment? Because God tried that for thousands of years and it didn't work with the children of Israel. What gets a sinner away from sin is not some increased fear. What gets a sinner away from sin? You see something high, heavenly, something of the Lord. And then you just say, you know what? That is so much better than my old life. And that's exactly what God was doing with Jacob. Let me tell you, let me show you a ladder that reaches heaven. And behold, angels of God. And so after you meet the Lord Jesus, after you meet this heavenly ladder, you just say like, I touched something so good. How do you get a toddler to drop a knife? Don't wrestle the toddler. Give the toddler an apple or a piece of candy or something really good. And then it just drops. And then, how does the Lord really appear to you? It's like, you know what? I just want you to have the highest life, the best life. And then here, and then it says here, behold, the Lord stood, and it's, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham. You know, before, you know, maybe some people in this room grew up with parents who were Christians. Maybe your parents are Christians. Let me tell you, you can be born with parents who are Christians, but you cannot be born a Christian. Some people say, I was born this way. No, you were not born that way. No, when you're born, even though your Christian parents are Christians, you are not born a Christian. If your parents are like Americans, you're born American. But if your parents are Christians, you're not born a Christian. You have to see and receive Jesus for yourself. And that's exactly like Jacob right here. You know what? Before this, we don't see much interaction with God in Jacob's life. It's like, that's my father's God. That's my grandfather's God. But here, you know what? He saw something marvelous. I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham. And finally, Jacob would be like, my God. My God, this is mine. He's mine. He appeared to me. And then also, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Oh, there's like a promise. All the land that God gave to Abraham. God promised the land to Abraham. And then here, God promised that land to Isaac. And we're going to see how in the New Testament, you know, the New Testament says this, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. The Gentiles is most of us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And so you just realize, like, wow, like he was promised something more, something of an inheritance, the land that I will give you and your descendants. I am promising that. And then I have a few points from this. Like, one is a ladder. One is this. Do we see that we have an inheritance? Like, that means this. There's so much more of Christ. Thomas Benti. Now, I can use, oh yeah, I'm going to probably use you again for another illustration, because there's something that's, you're fitting for an illustration. Thomas, let me interview you. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you have faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Is that good? Amen. Do you know all there is to know about Jesus?
Probably not.
Definitely not. Thomas, have you ever expected, like, there's so much more of Christ?
Yeah.
That's good. Do you know what is required of you to know much more of Christ?
I do not.
This is a good question. Let me tell you everything. What's required of you to know more of Christ? Everything. You give yourself to the Lord, and then he will give more to you. Yeah, he'll just give more to you. Do you want this land? The land. The land is the inheritance. The land on which you lie, I will give you. That's like a spiritual promise in the New Testament. You will receive the promise and know the promise of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Can you just pray for us? Pray in front of us. Jesus, I want everything. Jesus, I want all my inheritance, everything you want to give me. Can you just pray for us and we'll amen you?
Jesus, I just want all the inheritance that you give to me, Lord. I just want to know you more and gain more of you in my life.
Amen. Didn't you taste that? Isn't that a tasty spiritual feeling? You just get, amen. Did you feel good?
Oh, great.
Feel great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You'll be up again. Yeah. Like, Jacob, okay, just think about it. Jacob, I'm from a dysfunctional family. Who's from a dysfunctional family? Don't raise your hand. I'm a liar. Who's a liar? Don't raise your hand. I'm laying my head on a stone. Who laid their hand on the stone? One time, I was sleeping at a friend's home. It was like a host family's home. And they were, I don't know what kind of people they were, but I slept on a plywood. It was plywood with a sheet over it. I was like, these people must be, I don't know, they like to beat themselves up or whatever. I was just doing that. I couldn't imagine laying on that stone, you know. Anyway, but I don't want to get distracted too much with that. But yeah. And then you know what God does with Jacob? He's like, I want to attach you to heaven. It's like, I saw something heaven. And then the second thing is, I want to let you know, I'm going to give you the land on which you lie, I'll give you. And so I like it. I kind of like it. The stone, that was propping up his head. We're going to see how that was becomes an important part of the story. And then the land, it's like you're lying on the land. Well, you don't have it yet. It's like he's not even paying rent. He's just lying on the land. And that's like, it's like his support. His like, Jesus, help me. I'm about to take this test and I didn't study enough. Please help me. That's lying on the land. It's like, you're helping. But then when you possess it, you do something else. You think like, hey, I want to plant a vineyard here. And I have to like work the land. I have to improve it. I have to like, you know Christ to a certain extent that it becomes like he becomes real to me. Johnny, can I ask you a personal question? Are you lying on the land or you possess the land? A or B? A is lying on the land. Lying on the land. Lying on the land. It's like, I'm just resting in the Lord. Possessing the land. It's kind of like, you know, when you own a house, you could like tear down the wall and expand the room because you own it. Are you lying on the land? Is it a hard question? You could say, I don't know. All right. Yeah. Just stick around. You will know more. Okay. Okay, well, Jacob was lying on the land, and then God says, you know what? There's something more. You're going to possess it. Possess it. Lying on the land is visiting church. Possessing the land is being church. Lying on the land is like you hear a message about the Bible. Possessing the land is like the Bible becomes mine. It's a different life. And then it goes much deeper. And then Jacob was told, you know what? The land that that you're lying on, I am going to give to you. And then it's just like, wow, there's something so much more. Okay. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. I can't expound on that. You will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, the south, and in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Oh, be blessed. Yeah, I'll just say one thing. You know, this is a promise to Abraham. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was Genesis chapter 12, some other places. But here, Jacob's like this. I, in me, other people will be blessed. And then there's a question. Anishka, can I ask you a question? I ask a lot of questions. Have you been blessed by another Christian? How many? Like, whoa, hundreds. Amen. That's safe. That means if you would only say five, then I would say, which five? And then sisters would be offended. What? Not me? Okay. Tanishka, have you ever blessed? Have you ever blessed another Christian? Oh, she's humble. Yeah, it's like this. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. This would be a blessing. JD, have you ever blessed another Christian? This is it. Because I knew JD, I know God. That's blessing. Noah, have you ever been blessed by other Christians? How many? Five or hundreds like her? Somewhere in the middle. Okay. maybe 20, maybe low 20s. Noah, have you ever blessed another person? Has anybody said, because I know Noah, I know Jesus Christ, and I'm growing in him? Yeah, great answer. Very good answer. Jacob, in this dream, isn't this a wild dream for a naughty boy? Like, I'm a liar from a dysfunctional family, and I'm just like laying my head on the ground. And then God all of a sudden says, hey, you know what? I want to attach you to heaven, and then I'm going to give you this land so that there's going to be so much more. And then also in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's like there's something so much more. Something so much more. Okay. So Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, this would be a great thing to say after you go to a church meeting. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Amen. It's like, that was God. That was the Lord. And he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? Isn't that so much better? Compare these two statements. How awesome is this place? To, that was some nice stained glass window. Which one would you rather say? How awesome. Awesome. How awesome is this place? Or, wow, that was a cool light show. Yeah. That's what you. How awesome is this place? Why is it awesome? Because he met God. That's what made it awesome. It wasn't the flashiness or the whatever, the organization or whatever. It's like, I met God. I met the Lord. How awesome is this place? Okay. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then it's very interesting because Jacob just, there's no mention of house of God before this part of the Bible. Jacob's like, this is the house of God. And then he just like, maybe he just says that because Jacob could say like, I am a patriarch. If I say it's the house of God, it is the house of God. Amen. That's it. Maybe it's that. I don't know. But, and then also there's no mention of like, this is not where Solomon built the temple. It'd be very interesting if like, in the place where Jacob got the dream, where he said, this is the house of God. That is exactly where Solomon built the temple. And nope, there's nothing like that. You don't kind of see that, but there's like a spiritual realization. This is the house of God. Okay. And then this is the gate of heaven. And then this was his reaction. And this is very important. It's very important. Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head. And look what he did. He set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. Then he called the name of that place Bethel. And that means house of God in Hebrew. And then, then he goes, blah, 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 this stuff. And then 22, this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house. This stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. I really like that pillar. And I just want to like, okay, what is my main like pressing? What's the Lord pressing on me to share with you all this morning? Can you become a pillar? A pillar. He took the pillow that he was sleeping on, And then he made it into a pillar. Pillow? Pillar. And then the New Testament, you know, the apostles were called pillars. James, Peter, John, they're called pillars. And then there's a promise in Revelation. I think I have the verse up here, but it says, like, you know, if you're faithful to me, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God, and you will by no means go out again. And it's kind of like this, like there's a sign of pillar, and then he pours oil on top, which is like a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. It's like the oil of the Spirit is just upon the Lord Jesus. And so you see this like picture, which it's so amazing that in the Old Testament, Jacob's story puts all these symbols together that have such significance in the New Testament. There's the stone, and then he makes it into a pillar. And then that's a person who can uphold something for the Lord. And then he pours oil on that. That's a picture of the pillar of the Spirit. And then he says, this shall be the house of God, which is a picture of the church. And so you would say, like, wow, what an amazing New Testament statement in one verse. Then two verses. He set it up as a pillar, poured oil on it, and said this: the pillar will be the house of God. A pillar is somebody like this who can kind of stand, just stand. Thomas, you're my pillar. I wanted to ask you to be a pillar at the conference. Do you see his muscles? Yeah. How much can you bench?
About 275 pounds.
He can bench 275 pounds. Thomas, how much can you bench? Devin.
All three of those guys can bench more than me.
What? These three? You can bench more than 275? Whoa, this is humility. This is false humility. Sorry. If we're lucky. Sorry. 315. 315?
He did 347 once.
JD, you did 315? And you did 347? You're my pillar? Oh my goodness. Okay. This is a very... This is a pillar. Okay, you three. You three. Come on up. Come on up. Okay, this is a pillar. This is a pillar. Because he's standing here and he says, I love the Lord. I'm pursuing the Lord. I give my life to the Lord. Say that.
I'm pursuing the Lord. I give my life to the Lord.
I love the Lord.
I love the Lord. And yeah. I give my life to the Lord.
Yeah. Because he's saying that, all these, they could just like hang around. Just get a little bit lower. And him, get a little bit lower. Yeah, yeah. Because there's a pillar, they all can enjoy the Lord. And then without the pillar, then you just don't know where to go. And then it's weird. Like, what is a church? A church is this. It's some place where there are pillars. And then other people can follow the Lord. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a pile of money. It's not a racial group. It's not a policy. It's a pillar. There are pillars. And then when there's more pillars, there are more churches. Very simple. Thank you. You three can sit down. And then, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. I didn't realize. I thought you were going to be the highest benching. Oh man. Oh, that's really encouraging. Yeah, so anyway. So you gotta be a pillar. And I would like everyone to be a pillar. There could be brother pillars, sister pillars. But you just see, like, wow, because he's following the Lord. Because that's what James, Cephas, and John, James, Peter, and John, those apostles were pillars. The New Testament describes them as pillars. So you could imagine the brothers and sisters of the church in Jerusalem, they would just be like, we don't know how to follow the Lord. And then they look up. I see John, Apostle John. And then you just sense like, oh, I just, there's like a spiritually open way for the Lord to grow in me. Why? Because that person is a pillar holding up the roof, holding up whatever illustration you want. But it's like, that was a process. Do you think, are you a pillar or becoming a pillar?
Probably becoming a pillar. Yeah.
That's a very good answer. It's like, I can't see. Can't you see it? Can you see it spiritually? Thomas Benty, pillar. Give you 5 years. Well, Sadie, how long would you give him to become a pillar? Four. Hey, man. Well, he's hopeful. It's like, oh, Benty, four. Yeah, because, you know, thank you. Now you can sit down. So I'll talk to you about, this is a real fast lesson. How do you become a pillar? Well, okay, what Jacob did was this. He first used a pillow. And then the pillow became a pillar. It's kind of like this, like, I first laying down on Christ, on something that is like, you know, where Christ became real to me. I am, you could say, comforted by Christ. I just realized, like, wow, there's something real Christ in my life. Maybe like in my life, I just needed some kind of healing. And then Christ actually healed me. And I'm not even talking about like physical, although not just physical, but it could be like there was something inside that was not, it was not complete because I was just in a wrong situation. I was a wrong person. And the Lord Jesus healed me. And I am a whole person now because of the work of the Holy Spirit, because of the work of the Lord Jesus in me. And I use that as my pillow. Is God real? Is Christ real? Yes, he is real because he has worked in my life. And then you don't just keep laying on it. Then you set it up as a pillar. And then when you set that up as a pillar, then you can uphold a situation and say, you know, so Noah, say I just really got healed by the Lord. And he just like worked in me through the Holy Spirit, through the work of Jesus, through the word working. And then I can stand here and I can say, Noah, the Lord is able. And then you can be living under the shadow of my pillarness. Because I have taken my pillow and put it up as a pillar. And then you can actually like grow. In a, you have a good place to grow. Isn't that marvelous? So, final question. How many, if given a group of like 100 people, how many pillars should there be? Aaron, what do you think? Out of 100 people, how many pillars? Whoa. Oh, come on, come on. Preach. Preach to us. Preach to us. What's that? Oh, yeah. Can you preach to us? Can you just... No. Okay. Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell her. I'll tell you what she said, because you might not have been over here. Like, she said, I don't know how many there are, or something like that, but I think everyone should want to be a pillar. Amen. You don't have to say like, oh, look at that place. They have two pillars. I'm going to find new ground. No. Everyone should want to be a pillar. And that means I am bearing something, upholding something before the Lord, that I could be a support, a supply to, I could be a support to God's move as a pillar. Praise the Lord. Well, then, like Jacob said, okay, you put up the pillar, the pillow becomes a pillar, you pour oil on it, and you say, this will be the house of God. They say, what is the church? What is church in this thing? It's like, well, it's a whole bunch of brothers and sisters who have had experience of Christ as a pillow, setting up their pillar, and then through the work of the Holy Spirit, and you just say like, wow, this is the church. It's not a program. It's not a pile of money. It's not an institution. It is not a educational facility. It's not a whatever, but it is a group of brothers and sisters who are experiencing the Lord. And they have been raised up to bear something before the Lord as a pillar. And the Holy Spirit is involved, and you just say, this is the house of God. Shawnee, do you want to be a pillar? Are you a pillar? Become very good answer. Do you have a pillow? Like, has the Lord comforted you? Yeah, very much. That is very precious. If the Lord comforts you, it's very precious. And then that comfort can be raised up to become a pillar with the work of the Spirit. And then you say, like, this is the house of God. Praise the Lord for Jacob's dream. It's really amazing. I think what's amazing is this. He uses so many New Testament symbols in this one thing. The stone is a symbol. The pillar is a symbol. The oil is a symbol. And the house of God surely is a symbol in the New Testament. And you put it all together and you see, wow, Jacob's life with the Lord is so meaningful. May we all raise, like the song says, may we all raise up Bethel once we have seen the glory of the Lord as he speaks to each one of us individually.